You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to the Heat, Cinema Geekly's fortnightly wrestling podcast. It's Anthony and Jacqueline, and we're back to talk more of the world of professional wrestling, or wrestling, if you will.
Wrestling.
And we've got a few things to talk about. It feels like it's leaning more heavily AEW on this episode, yeah. But that's kind of how things go, apparently, when you do a two-week cycle for your podcast. One go-around, it's we're leading heavily into a WWE big show, and another time around, it's an AEW show. And this time, the AEW show is happening first. It'll be All In, and it'll be a week from today as at the time of recording, and WWE show will be just a few days, like 6 days after that. Yeah. On a Saturday. That show is called Bash in Berlin, and I do believe it is the first actual PLE from Germany. They've done some shows in Germany before that. I think they've done, I'm trying to remember, but I'm positive they did like a Monday Night Raw or something from like way back in the day, like in like 97 or something like that.
Oh, that's a long time ago. Yeah,
from Germany. Point. Yeah. But I remember watching and thinking like, this is the coolest thing ever. It's like in another, a whole nother part of the world. Whoa. That sort of thing. There is an official theme song. I don't know if you caught this news.
I did not.
This is huge, gigantic, theme song news. Apparently the song is Ratatatatata. It's Baby Metal. If anybody know who Baby Metal is. Baby Metal is a Japanese heavy metal band where the lead singers are three at most teenage girls. And then they just have like a heavy metal band behind them that just play like the heaviest metal you've ever heard. That track is also featuring Electric Callboy, who is a band from Germany. So we're sticking with the international theme.
It seems like you would want a German band.
Like Rammstein.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. No. They might be too busy. They could be on tour right now.
They may not be a thing anymore. I don't even know, but
I remember when we were talking about this show and I was like, God, you know what would be perfect? Gunther and Ilya Dragunov. And you know what they did?
That.
Gunther
not
and
that.
Randy Orton is what they're doing, which sense. Because
Does
of the
it?
Yeah, because well, I had to be reminded that it makes sense because I didn't watch the show where this happened on because it was King of the Ring, which was in Saudi Arabia, and I, on principle, never watched those shows. But the finals were Gunther and Randy Orton, and Gunther won.
Yeah.
He was supposed to win cleanly, but there was some sort of screw up or mix up, like Orton's shoulder was up. And so, but that was on accident, but they're running with it to be like, hey, Gunther's not even happy with that victory. He didn't feel like he really beat Randy Orton. So like, it makes sense that they want to do this. Now, of course, Randy Orton, I believe, is on SmackDown. So I guess the stipulation on this match is that if Orton wins the title, he goes to Raw and Gunther will go to SmackDown, which I think would break up Imperium. Yeah. Well, left of Imperium.
I know.
We have Kevin Owens challenging Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship in a match that
also
is
stupid
happening because Kevin's been helping out Cody. So he wants to give him a shot, I guess.
Yeah,
Which is nice, but it's not a super.
Doesn't make sense.
It's not a super compelling. I'm sure it'll be a good match. Not super compelling lead into it, though. I'll say that.
No, not at all.
And I guess the match with the most of that that lead-in going for it at the moment is Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley against Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. I'm not a fan of the stories we discussed prior, but crowd is eating it up and they love it. And I do got to hand it to Dominic Mysterio. I really did. I only saw the clips, but I really did love his promo explaining why he chose Liv Morgan over Rhea Ripley. And I thought it was hilarious. I think the point was for it to be hilarious, but
probably
basically he's just like, I feel like, well, I don't really know. I'll be honest with you. The Rhea Ripley Dominic story, I always thought was like Rhea Ripley kind of just, I don't know if gaslighting is the right word, but kind of using Dom in some way. Like, it never felt like a real we love each other relationship. It sort of morphed into that when Rhea Ripley became, like, when people started cheering her again. I think it sort of turned into that, which is a little weird. But I feel like the Dominic Mysterio Liv Morgan thing is also the same thing, where Liv is just using Dominic. And it's not a I feel like Dominic is absolutely Liv has him wrapped around her finger, even though she calls him daddy instead of him calling her mommy. But like, you know, that's a thing to make him feel like a big, tough man. And I think it's funny because, and I think they're playing it that way because Dom's whole reasoning is like, she lets me have chicken tendies whenever I want. She'll let me play video games whenever. Totally like a 14-year-old, like a 14-year-old's dream girlfriend.
Yep.
I do like them as a couple, but I'm not a fan of the storyline in general.
I do like Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley as a tag team, though.
Yeah, the Terror Twins. I was thinking of the
Tower of Terror.
The Tower of Terror, which I think is a ride at an amusement park.
It is.
That's not what they're going for. Not what they're going for there.
Yeah.
Not as big of a flub as Sheamus on Twitter showing everybody that he bought a Cybertruck and calling it the Banger Bus.
No!
Like a bunch of people in the comments, a bunch of wrestlers that were just like, like, might want to rethink that one.
Why'd he buy a Cybertruck? Come on now, dude.
I have no idea.
Anyway, we'll just leave that one alone.
We'll leave it there. But I have no real speculation about this match, or the other two. I will speculate that there will probably be at least two more matches. That's hardly a speculation. But I'm sure we're going to get at least two more matches. I would expect another men's and another women's match, I think. In here somewhere. But I know that you have some WWE related talent speculation or talent coming to WWE speculation that
potentially
you really to talk about. I want to hear all about it.
So I mean, I don't have much behind it, but I know the rumor mill is a spinning that the Lucha Brothers, Penta El Cero Miedo and Rey Fénix might be eyeing WWE as their next home of wrestling. And I don't know how to feel about it. Other than, like, I've been thinking, you know, like, my husband and I were talking about it, and he brought up the point. He's like, maybe, like, they're looking to slow down.
Yeah.
And so, like, they want to go to WWE to be, like, less crazy. And I'm like, that's literally the only thing that makes sense.
I saw somebody be like, Pentagon just wants to do that Shinsuke Nakamura thing where he like tones down his style by half and then just goes and surfs on his day off.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I'm like, and if that's it, that makes sense. But also like, there is literally, I don't know anyone in WWE who could hang with them in a match.
Yeah, they would instantly like rise to like the tippy top of people that are like really good in ring. There are people there who are really good in ring, but
as far as stylistically, like they don't like, I mean, Dragon Lee, but he's out, I think hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like maybe Santos Escobar, but like they don't really use them as luchas. You know what I mean? Like their style is not the same.
And like in my mind, I'm thinking about like matches that would be amazing, but it's like they could probably be good to really good, but if they happened outside of WWE, not necessarily AEW, but yeah, just about anywhere where there's a less restrictive style. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, Gargano and Ciampa would be really good with those guys.
Agreed.
I would have fun watching, like, less fun Tama Tonga, but more fun Jacob Fatu. Like, that would be fun to watch those guys. Like, I would love to see Rey Fénix and Jacob Fatu just do crazy things to each other. That would be a good time.
I go back to, like, when I saw Raul Mendoza on the Florida circuit, he can mix it up. So can Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah,
like,
those guys would. I mean,
insanity with Rafe. Like, they could do some crazy stuff.
They would have great matches that the crowd would not be into.
I'd be into it.
Well, I know. We probably have fun, but, like, you know, those guys have been treated so, like underlings that different. The fans wouldn't react to them very well.
I know. Oh, man. If any of those guys ever got, like, the chance to, like, really shine, I would have a whole field day.
Yeah. I mean, hey, sneak them into NXT while the Rascals, I guess, broke up, kind of, sort of.
Yes. But honestly, Wesley and Rey Fénix, or even Penta, would be a great match.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Great match.
I think it might even be more than speculation at this point that, like, especially for Penta, that he wants to do this, and Ray, I think, just wants to go with his brother. Now, there are a couple of things that have kind of come up surrounding this, and it's all really boring contract stuff. But
love it.
One piece of news suggested that. I guess with Phoenix's contract,
because he was hurt.
Because he was hurt, that AEW could keep him for another year.
That's a long time.
Just off of, like, he's been hurt a lot, so they would be able to extend it. And this is a common contract thing now. WWE has this
condition. Yeah.
And there's been a lot of discussion on the internet about, like, whether or not, if this is a thing, whether or not they should exercise that clause, because, like, it might be good for them to have somebody, like, keep a Rey Fénix on, but it could be bad for morale. It could, you know, people would be comparing them to WWE in a negative light. You don't want to be just like WWE, parentheses, derogatory.
Also, what I will say, like, from a talent perspective, like, Rey Fénix and Penta, I think, are both stand out fantastic.
Yeah.
But you have, like, some more up and comers, like I'm thinking, like, Top Flight, like Dante and Darius Martin.
Yep.
Hologram now. Yeah. Like, you have, I mean, even, like, if you want to, you know, someone in the same, I would call, age bracket or experience bracket, like, PAC. Like, who can really, like, pick up that torch of, like, those crazy in-ring movements?
Yes.
And still deliver. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I on the other hand, it's like, those two guys, Lucha Bros, have been there since the very first, they were at more than just the very first AEW show. They were at the AEW press conference to set up an angle for the very first show. They've literally been a day one team
talent,
and in some ways that makes it really hard to see them go, but in other ways you can be like, they have done almost everything is like tag teams. They've won the tag titles, they've won the trios titles with Pac. They didn't get a chance to really do a lot of singles runs, although Rey Fénix is an international champion, technically was not supposed to happen, but it happened.
It did.
You know, I can see, you know, hey, we did this for 5+ years and now we want to try our hand. You know, we're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
This could be our chance to see what it's like over there. Maybe it works out great for us. Maybe it doesn't. And then we, you know, go back to AEW or decide it was a mistake to ever leave. Or maybe it works out great. But maybe they just want to try their thing out somewhere else and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the one thing I will say, like, AEW, I think, from what we've experienced so far, they have let people leave graciously.
Yeah.
Like, I think Jade, I think Cody, like, even, like, I know they're not, like, Ricky Starks, they're not really using him, but, like...
No, he seems like he's on his way out as well.
He's definitely on his way out, and so, like, they're just giving him time to transition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no reason to do anything other than let them transition at this point. Like, just let the, like, have that good grace everywhere, and, like... If they don't, I think that would be a big disappointment.
Mm-hmm. There is one other piece of news that came from this, although it's tangentially related to it, because Tony Khan didn't actually name names. But in an interview, in a radio interview, I think, he actually talked about how he's pretty sure WWE is still contract tampering.
I agree.
With people. Yeah, and I would assume. This, of course, obviously people are thinking about Penta and Rey. And this also sort of sparked like legal debates between people talking about the legalities of contract tampering. Because I think what now this is just me not being a legal person. You are a far more qualified legal person. But this is just me looking up things to try to figure out what's what. And I know for a fact that. Contract tampering, as in like other like in the NFL or the MLB, like another team contacting a player while they are still under contract to another team, like this is bad. But that's because Major League Baseball and the National Football League and hockey and basketball, all these leagues have essentially
unions,
number one, and also essentially legal monopolies as well. So they can kind of just make up their own rules when it comes to like what you can and cannot do. And the owners have all agreed that contract tampering is a no-no. Now, it's different, though, I think, in wrestling, as in there are no unions, there is no agreement between people who run these companies. And even though in WWE it's basically laughable, they still list their wrestlers as independent contractors, which AEW's wrestlers are also independent contractors. Now, to the best of at least the research that I've done, if the tampering involved here, the quote-unquote tampering, is Triple H being like, hey, Penta, hey, Phoenix, like, when your contract is up with AEW, here's what we can offer, like, here's what we're offering you guys to come here. As far as I know, that's not illegal that they can do that. To me, from what I read, it's illegal if he's like, hey, what can we do to like get you out of this contract early? Like finding a way to get them to breach contract, that's illegal. Yeah. But just talking to them about potential, like when your deal is done, like as far as I know, there's nothing illegal about that. You might argue that it's, you can, I guess, maybe make an argument that it's not ethical or it's unfair or something, but wrestlers don't really have free agency in the same way that sports players like athletes do.
Do wrestlers even have agents? Like
some do, yes.
Some like I feel like your top guys do or your top absolutely women do.
Yep, like, but, like Mercedes Moné does, Cody, Roman,
sure,
and they've got big ones
they all
too.
Make sense.
Yeah,
but I feel like the Lucha Bros probably don't have, like, do they have representation? I would assume maybe not.
They probably don't. No.
So like you, like they don't have a middle person anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like in all of professional sports, like there is an agent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So 100%. A third person.
So we'll see how things go. There hasn't been much movement. I don't know when their contracts run up, if they're not, or if they're already up for Penta, or if Phoenix is when his is up, or if it's gonna get extended. Like there's been no news, but they've also been off TV completely. And it doesn't look like there's any sign of them returning anytime soon. So,
no, because Pac's going his own way, too. So,
yeah. So let's talk about All In. It's right around the corner.
Yes, it is.
I don't think we're going to have, we might get a couple more matches added to the 0 hour. But it seems like the main card is mostly full now.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Before we do that, they announced that All In is not going to be in London next year, which is interesting because that tells me, speculation-wise, that WWE might be running Wembley next year. And I don't know what for, but it only makes sense. I mean, you can also argue, like some people were arguing, hey, it also makes sense. You just don't want to do it that many years in a row. But
Tony Khan, what I was thinking.
But in the same announcement, Tony Khan was like, but we will be back in 2026 for All In. So I think it's because WWE is going to be running Wembley next year. But this opened up a pretty gutsy, another pretty gutsy announcement, which is that All In for next year is going to take place at Globe Life Park in, I think it's Arlington. I don't. It's
Arlington, Texas, with Mayor Jim Ross.
With Mayor Jim Ross, who is not the commentator Jim Ross.
Not that Jim Ross. Yeah. Another Jim Ross.
Yeah, not good old JR, but
another one.
Yeah, the politician JR. I don't want to say good old because who knows in Texas.
Who knows? He's probably a good old boy.
They are running a baseball stadium, which is very gutsy because the most that AEW has ever done stateside for a crowd is about 21,000. It's the first time they did the Grand Slam show at Arthur Ashe, which was a very, it was fairly shortly after Bryan Danielson had dated. It was like right at peak hot AEW. Yes. This is when Punk had debuted and Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson. And they did straight away for that show. They did Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson on that Arthur Ashe show. And AEW has, they've come close to that Arthur Ashe number. The Revolution show with Sting got about 16,000, that sort of thing. But they've they've never done anything above 20. And obviously they have a noticeable decline in attendance. So this has people wondering, like, how many tickets are they going to sell for this? The word is that they want to shoot for 30 to 35,000. Yeah.
And I bet you they can. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I also think, though, they can make a weekend out of it with Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think is very strong for them.
Yeah. They should go back to doing a fan fest. AEW used to do fan fest stuff. I feel like there are some things that you could do. And I feel like with a year of buildup, like you can make it work, I think. I think it is doable.
For sure.
And I do feel like AEW is on a slight upswing. Like, ticket sales are showing like small signs of like rising. It's not everywhere. It's not every event, but we are seeing instances where they are doing more than they did the last time they went there, that sort of thing. And they're usually small gains, but that's a decent sign that they're recovering a little bit. Okay. So let's talk about this massive card. I don't know what else is going to get added to the Zero Hour, but can anything really match Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii against Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway?
I mean, literally put nothing else on that Zero Hour. I need no other matches. I will be tuning in.
Just give me an hour of Ishii and Hathaway in there. Just
oh my God. You mean Tom?
Tom, Big Tom.
As Willow calls him,
Big Tom. Big Tom.
Oh my God. I am so excited for this.
Stokely, that I sent you that video clip of him from Collision the other night. You know, he's the Stone Pitbull of AEW, and he tried to bark, you know, but Chris was a little secondhand embarrassment.
Oh my God. They're so great together. I love them.
But we did learn a stipulation, bringing us now to two total All Out matches. We've already got two matches for All Out, which is not going to be 1 week later like it was last year. It's 2 weeks, so there is a little bit of separation. It gives them a little bit of time to build a little extra. But the winning team here is going to choose the stipulation between the match between Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander at All Out. Plus, we also have Pac challenging whoever the American/international champion is going to be at All Out, which will presumably be Will Ospreay, so we can finally get... Oh no, I think it's going to be Ospreay, so we can get Ospreay and Pac. That's what I'm going for.
I don't feel like I deserve that match at this point in time, but okay.
No.
I will go with it.
So let's talk about all this other stuff we've got here. We've got our obligatory Jericho and Hook match. We knew they were building to this.
Boring. Move on.
Not here for it. If Hook loses, he can never challenge for the FTW championship again as long as Jericho is champion, but we don't have to worry about that because Hook is going to beat him, and hopefully it'll be quick.
Thank God.
I hope it'll be... Honestly, I hope it'll be a squash. Like, I hope he just... I hope Jericho goes for, like, the Judas effect and Hook ducks and, like, dumps him on his head with a suplex and chokes him out and, like, that's it.
That's
we
it.
Just, we just move on.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
That would be fantastic. We also have... let's go with my next least excited for match on the show. Young Bucks defending the tag titles against FTR and the Acclaimed. Yeah. Not looking forward
like
to this.
I would like to say, though, we were watching Collision last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is going to go to a time limit draw.
Yeah.
I just knew it. Like, I just knew it in my heart of hearts.
I mean, I had a feeling, too, when I looked at how much time was left on the clock, like, when the match started. And I'm like, this is a long match. I bet it goes draw. Yeah. Because they're probably going to do the three-way. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, I really don't want to see this match, but I also don't want to see Young Bucks versus Acclaimed. I don't want to... FTR and Young Bucks will be a good match, but I don't want to see it again.
I've seen it so many times.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I also legitimately, I think because the tag division for me is so cold right now, I honestly legitimately cannot think of another team that's not doing something else right now that I would like to see in there. And I just realized it's because, like, so many of the other teams are either going to be gone, like the Lucha Bros, or they're teams that don't exist anymore, like Swerve and Keith Lee.
Or they're in trios.
Or they're in trios like House of Black. You know, like, I don't know. I probably would be a little more interested if it were, like, maybe if they did, like, Bucks against, like, Claudio and
Mox. The Infantry.
Not the Infantry.
I like them.
I know, and I know people are also really high on, like, Private Party and Top Flight, and I like both of those teams, but I guess I just don't see them. They need more work done to kind of be there.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know who's going to win this. Maybe the Acclaimed. It shouldn't be the Acclaimed. Get Anthony Bowens out of that team ASAP. He needs to go on his own as a singles. They just need to go their own way. Like, I'm the Acclaimed. I'm tired of the Acclaimed.
Aw.
Sorry.
I think the Young Bucks retain, honestly. And
probably.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah. This makes the most sense.
I'm just going in order of, like, things I'm least interested in. Jack Perry and Darby Allin for the TNT Championship.
Sorry. That's how I feel about it.
I will say this. I do love Jack Perry's new TNT title. The one that's been burnt in a fire and had somebody killed on the title plate. Because there's, like, a blood spatter. I do like that. I kind of enjoy when they do, like, I got my own version of the belt and it matches my character. That sort of thing. I do like that.
Agreed. I think Jack Perry retains there, too.
This has been upgraded to a coffin match, which I think will now make this match way more exciting because they're just going to do crazy things to each other in and on those things. And I think it means no DQ as well. So that'll be a good time, I think.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Now for a match that I think is only adding a fourth team because the other tag team match on the show has three teams and they didn't want to do two matches with three teams each. A four-way London ladder match for the AEW Trios title. This feels... I don't like this because the story is clearly between the Patriarchy, the Bang Bang Gang, and the House of Black.
House of Black. But who do you think the fourth team is? Because I have a theory.
Okay, I'd love to hear your theory. I've heard a ton of speculation about this.
Oh, I haven't heard any. I'm just going off of my heart like I usually do.
Okay.
But because they're not yet booked in a match... I think it's Mox, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta, the other members of the BCC.
Yeah, that could make sense. There is another place where some of those people could show up on this show, and we'll get to that in a moment. Yeah, but
absolutely.
I think
this makes more sense, though.
I heard people say, wouldn't it be hilarious if it ended up being like the Lucha Brothers and like Commander or something? yes. or Pac. It could be Pac.
I did say that. I was like, what about Death Triangle?
It could be Death Triangle. I've heard some far out ones. I've heard people be like, it could be Shelton Benjamin, MVP, and Bobby Lashley, the Hurt Business.
Yes.
They're all free agents. I would not like that. But
I like Bobby Lashley, though.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. I wouldn't look forward to Bobby Lashley personally, but like I could see why Tony Khan would want to hire him. He's got a lot of name value and people do like him. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. It's never really clicked for me. I think he's better than he ever was. Like when he started, I saw him when he started and he was way, way worse than he is now. So he's definitely gotten a lot better over time, but I don't know. People have speculated that it could be a team of comprised of like UK people, maybe like they've been doing a lot of stuff with Michael Oku from Rev Pro because he's like Will Ospreay's buddy, and MJF went over there and killed him. People talked about maybe they could do like Michael Oku and like Grizzled Young Veterans or some,
that would be cool.
Some, but I don't think it'll be that. I honestly,
or the Dynamite Kid.
Tommy Billington, honestly have zero idea who this team could be. I really dislike the idea that it's even happening. I guess they're only doing it so they don't have two, three team matches on the same show, but that's a pretty crummy reason to just add another team into this story.
My other thing though is that what if they have a really great team? That's my hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to find out on
a really great team.
We're going to find out. Soon. Technically, we're going to find out on Saturday, but really, we're going to find out before Saturday because they're taping Collision and Dynamite in Cardiff together. So we're going to find out. We're going to get spoiled on who that team
by
is.
By Wednesday.
By Wednesday or probably by. Yeah, probably by Wednesday night. Or
Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. So we will see who that is. And in the last of many, many multiple person matches, Orange Cassidy versus to be announced in the Casino Gauntlet match for a future AEW World title shot.
So many people.
Orange Cassidy, there technically up to 21 people could be in this match. But the rules of the Casino Gauntlet are two people start, and if one of those people pins the other person before another person can even come out, the match is over. So the match can end at any time, which means it's fast-paced, and it's every time they've done this, it's been wild and fun.
Yes, I agree.
Because the idea is it can end at any time. So like when you get out there, you want to get in there, and you're going to want to start like hitting all your big stuff like right away because... you know, you don't want to chance it. The only reason we know Orange Cassidy is first or in this match is because he won a match to be the first entrant, which in about any other sort of gauntlet match is a bad thing. But in this one,
right.
where it can end anytime, you want to be first. I have heard.
I assume it's going to be him and Roderick Strong starting us off.
Ooh, okay. I have heard a billion names for this. And I just thought of one today that no one's even mentioned. Oh.
Please.
As a return, Miro, who I believe is still under contract, he might still be hurt, but
he might be.
But I don't know his status, but he could show up. I've heard
maybe Will Hobbs.
Yeah, Will Hobbs. I don't know what his status is, but I think
no idea.
Jay White is apparently capable to return at any time, so he could show up in this match.
There you go.
Keith Lee, I think we talked about. Obviously, the big name is Ricochet that people are that. And honestly, this would be a good place to debut him because I love Ricochet to death. But like if you announce Ricochet for like a Dynamite ahead of time, like he's not going to you're not going to get like a million people are going to tune in for Ricochet. But he's a draw for me as like a performer. And this is the perfect place to put him in because he's going to be in there with, you know, like you could get you could get Ricochet and Hologram in there together or
stop it. Ricochet, that is too much greatness.
Ricochet and Orange Cassidy, like Ricochet and like a bunch of people. And of course, there's also going to be a bunch of people in this match. So like that sets up something for Ricochet to do some crazy dive to the outside or whatever onto people.
Or even start up a feud for him.
Yeah, 100%. And being in a match like this, him not winning doesn't really hurt him because there's going to be so many other people in it. You know, people completely unaffiliated to him could end up winning the match, or like he doesn't have to get pinned or anything.
No.
So like this is a good place to debut people. I legitimately have no idea who's going to win this match at all. But they will get a future championship match, which also puts them in league with Darby Allin, who has also earned a championship match at Dynamite Grand Slam when they eventually get there.
Is that what it is for?
Yes.
Look, Darby Allin needs to go away. I'm so bored with him.
Wow.
I don't like
people. Love you feel about Darby Allin how I feel about Bobby Lashley, I guess.
He's so like, I just do not care.
Just not hitting for you.
No, not at all.
Okay, Mercedes Moné, Britt Baker for the TBS Championship.
Great match.
With Camille now backing Mercedes. And I think Mercedes wins this because I think Britt is going to end up getting help from Jamie Hayter after the fact. I think a lot of us were hoping this Saraya at All In thing was going to lead to Saraya doing an open challenge and Jamie Hayter beating her. But I don't think that's happening because I think the payoff to this is Saraya getting a shot at the Women's Championship on Dynamite on Wednesday in Cardiff against Toni Storm. Which, by the way, that show is loaded, too, with Okada and Claudio. Jesus, what a show that's going to end up being, too.
I'm excited.
So I feel like Mercedes maybe wins this one. So we don't get the Brit winning payoff thing right away. But
not yet.
But then, you know, then you can do tags if it is with Jamie. You can get like Brit and Jamie against Camille and Mercedes, like that sort of
thing. So many places for this to go.
Yep, 100%. You also got MJF Ospreay rematch for the American Championship. Their last match was spectacular. This one's not going to go an hour, but I imagine Ospreay wins and gets the title back. Makes sense. And
it would.
MJF can move on to another feud.
I think Adam Cole comes back.
Ooh, he could. Yeah, as a babyface.
Adam Cole, MJF. Man, I've been waiting for it.
Yes. Toni Storm and the Glamour, Mariah May, for the AEW Women's Championship.
Yep.
I'd pull the trigger here and put it on Mariah.
You think so? Mm-hmm. I would keep it on Toni. She's too beloved by this by these crowds.
I know. But she has had that belt for a while.
She has.
And I think if you want, it's clear they see like Mariah is a star, although it's taken her, honestly, it's taken her a bit in my eyes to like
find her footing,
to kind of find her footing in this role. I think she's finding it, but
I agree,
because as a performer, she was incredible as Toni's like obsessed fan slash child slash lover slash whatever it was, like unbelievable in that role. And we've now seen Mina Shirakawa is back in the United States, and she's going to, I think she said she's going to be at Wembley, but she hasn't talked to either of them and she doesn't know what's going on. And she still has feelings for them both. She's now Mariah May in the Toni Mina feud that was at Forbidden Door. I don't know. I think if they see her as the star, like she won the tournament. This is the big show. It's in her home country. If you're like, hey, this is our big women's star, like you got to pull the trigger and give her the chance to run with it.
I don't know if she is the bigger star though.
That's I don't know either. Like, yeah, I don't know either.
That's why I think that Toni retains.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna be a hell of a match.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Mariah. It. Yeah.
Okay, but, and Swerve. And American Dragon, title versus career for the world title.
Yes.
Bryan Danielson will be coming out to the final countdown. I mean, in the match graphic for this.
Is it? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the match is literally called the final countdown.
I love it.
Title versus career. So clearly they're going to be doing that. You know what's weird to me? And maybe I'll be eating a lot of crow on this one. I don't know. The internet, for some reason, in my mind, seems to be buying into the storyline is not a storyline. And they think that at best it's 50-50 on who's going to win. But a lot of people are like, oh, now I'm pretty sure Swerve's going to win. Because like Danielson's like, my contract's up. I need to get neck surgery. I don't know if I can do this anymore. That sort of thing. And I'm like, this is very clearly him with like a huge neon sign. Like if you translate from wrestling into English, he's saying, I'm winning the title at Wembley.
I'm one of those people though, who's like, this is Swerve's match. Like,
oh, I mean, this is Swerve's moment to shine. Cause like, he's still, although to me, he already proved himself more than worthy enough of the main event scene at Forbidden Door for my tastes.
Fair enough.
He completely did it with that Will Ospreay match. I'm like, yeah, okay. I completely see it now. Brian doesn't need that because he's already there. He's already in that position. But this whole thing seems tailor-made for, like, you know, Swerve's like, I'm going to end your career, but, like, also you can't hang anymore. Like, I'm going to, you know, what are you going to do when, like, your arm gives out on you because your body's falling apart? Like, it seems tailor-made for, like, it seems to me the story is, like, If you're just looking at this in a vacuum, the idea of the story is Bryan Danielson has -100% chance of winning this match, and he could never win in a million years. The odds are so stacked against him because his body's crumbling, and Swerve should beat him super easy. But like, you know, that's reverse psychology. Like, I feel like the obvious is true, that this is going to be like, oh my God, he overcame all of the things that they said would be his downfall, but he overcame them and he's the champion. Like,
I don't know. I'm a Swerve fan.
I know Tony. Oh, me too. Like, yeah. I wouldn't hate it if this was Bryan Danielson's career and they did that great, like, tribute video for him. They did like the Green Day video where they did, exactly.
They did all of that,
which also felt like a retire. Like, he already retired.
It's a retirement package,
which was so crazy. But like, to me, that all plays into like, he's totally going to win. And I don't know. I feel like Tony Khan and I have kindred wrestling souls, and he's a nerdy wrestling fan who grew up loving ECW and Ring of Honor. Like, I know he loved Ring of Honor because as soon as he had a chance, he gave CM Punk his Ring of Honor theme song. As soon as he was able to, he gave Bryan Danielson his Ring of Honor theme song. He bought Ring of Honor. And Bryan Danielson is like one of the greatest champions in ROH history. And if I'm in Tony Khan's shoes and I've got Bryan Danielson on my roster, I want to make that guy my world champion at least once for my company. And I feel like this is like the chance, because he is going to be stepping down from wrestling a full-time schedule after this. And I don't know. I feel like he has to go until, personally, I feel like he's got to go until at least Wrestle Dream, because that's in Tacoma, Swerve's hometown. And they got a kind of a biggish building there. It's bigger than most of the arenas they do. And I feel like that's the place where you maybe do the rematch and Swerve beats him. And then, you know, Bryan kind of doesn't retire, but like semi-retires, like he retires from full time. I feel like that's the perfect place to do it. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be stunned. Like, I wouldn't be slack-jawed if Swerve won this match. But it does feel like, to me, as somebody who's watched wrestling for a super long time, it just feels like that's the story that Bryan would want to do, which is like, you got to make it seem like I'm an old man who can bear, like, if I take one wrong move, I'll crumple to dust.
I mean, I hear you, but I'm still going to go with, I think he is about to crumple to dust, and I'm buying all of it, and like, he needs to hang up his boots.
Yeah. Oh, I hope. So, I don't think he's hanging him up forever, which
not forever, but he should probably hang him up for a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, and his reasonings for wanting to do it are totally reasonable. Like, I want to spend time with my family. And he just seems like such a good guy. Like, I feel like he's just going to be around the company forever. I don't think I ever see him going back to WWE.
I agree.
So
he's going to be the Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at some point, if he does stop wrestling, he'd just transition into like a creative role or an office role or something mm-hmm. like that, or be an agent role. Or trainer. Yeah. So yep. yeah, all that stuff, crazy cool. I'm excited for the show. There's all that bonkers stuff. There's one last piece of AEW news, which is not official news, but it feels like we are on the verge of them announcing their television deal. Which
it feels like that every week.
It does feel like that every week because Tony Khan keeps mentioning it, especially on Twitter. That leads me to think that the news might come out around All In. Like they might just wait for like their biggest show, their biggest night, and then maybe like the day after or something, drop like, "Hey, we signed a new deal." The new deal, which is obviously there's just only speculation about it at the moment, but that speculation does cite that all three of their current shows are going to be renewed for the deal. So they're not going to be losing any content, which mm-hmm. for some people is a bad thing. For them, monetarily, it's a good thing. But like, I get, trust me, like, I don't want to have to watch 5 hours of wrestling. It's hard to keep up with like one company, so much let alone wrestling. Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to keep up with everything that's happening. But there is talk. Part of this deal is going to include Ring of Honor going to True TV, which is being rebranded as TNT Sports. That announcement has already been made. And whatever True TV was airing, they're looking to make it a more sports-oriented channel. Along with the announcement for it being called TNT Sports, I think they announced that they're going to be airing like Savannah Bananas. I don't know if you know who the Savannah Bananas are, but
I of course know who the Savannah Bananas are.
Okay, great. Please. Savannah. Oh, I didn't know. Like some people are like, "What are you talking about?" And then some people
they
are like,
"The Party Animals."
Yeah, of course they. I was just watching them play a game last night on YouTube.
I love them.
I love Banana Ball. They're going to start being aired on television. They signed a television deal. They're going to be on TNT Sports. And that clearly also means they're going to be looking for sports content to fill up there. And it sounds like Ring of Honor could be heading there and off of their streaming service, which will be great for them because
it'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's more content, but with them having a television deal, that would probably mean I wanted to say it so certain with so much certainty, but I can't. It probably means that we're going to have less ROH integration on AEW, which I think is a very good thing.
Oh, yeah.
They need to separate those things more. And of course, there is a HBO Max or whatever it's called, Max streaming thing involved. At the very least, people are expecting the AEW back catalog to be on there. And there is wavering talk about pay-per-view integration, whether it'll be like a Peacock thing where if you signed up, you just get to watch the pay-per-views, or if it's going to be something more akin to ESPN where you can buy the pay-per-views on Max, but you still have to buy the pay-per-views. Like they'll still cost, you know, it'll cost you extra, or it'll still cost the regular, you know, $40 or $50 price tag or whatever. And I've already seen people be very upset about this because they're like,
I would be upset about that
because they're like, WWE pay-per-views are only like $9 a month or whatever. And as other people have pointed out, yes, but they're also like chock full of ads and video packages and a ton of filler.
Mm-hmm.
And AEW pay-per-views are expensive. And we're just going to pretend that I've bought every single one of them. But I will say this, I feel like personally, like you get your money's worth out of those shows. Like there is no real filler on them. There might be some match filler where like you might get a Chris Jericho match or something where you're like, eh.
Ugh.
Or in your case, a Darby Allin match where you're like, eh.
Yes.
But like,
but most of the matches are very
right. What, they're great. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not even good. Yeah. They're great.
You get really great, like bang for your buck. So it's unsure where that's going to settle. And, I'd love to say that this is going to be the end of tribalism on, wrestling internet, but unfortunately they will just find a new way or a new goalpost to move to make the new television deal sound bad or whatever. So, but the only thing that really matters is that they're clearly on the verge of announcing it. And it's only a good thing for AEW because it's going to ensure their future for probably another 5 years or so.
Wow.
Yeah, I would expect it. I would expect the deal to go at least as long as the last one did. And yeah, we are already on the verge of Dynamite having more episodes than WCW Monday Nitro did back in old Monday Night Wars. We're rapidly approaching that. I think it's sometime. I think it might be in April. I think somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's gonna be fast.
Where they surpassed WCW's or Nitro's show total. So, wow. You know, they're going to be around. They won't be around as long as WCW was, but they're, you know, people were predicting at the beginning that AEW was going to be out of business by like year two or something. And
prove them wrong.
Yeah, we're verging on a deal that I think will have them around for at least a decade, which is crazy to think
about. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good for them. But anyway, we've speculated a lot about stuff. But that's the fun part. Right?
I love this stuff. Yeah, this is the fun stuff. Yeah,
trying to take a guess at like what's going to happen next. So, yep. We will find out if we are prognosticators or if we are fools. We will find out.
Only time will tell.
Very shortly, within the next fortnight. We will know for sure. Until then, everybody, head on over to cinemageekly.com, where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, this is a listener-supported podcast. There are a couple ways to help out there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly, along with our merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and Pocket Cast. Wherever you find a good podcast, just search for The Heat and hit subscribe. And that way you can join us in another fortnight where we will discuss the fallout from All In. And if we have time, probably the Bash in Berlin.